Everybody likes a housewarming gift, don't they? Yeah, usually it's like a basket with cheese and crackers, maybe some wine. And when you get the basket and it has oils in it to rid your home of demons, that may be a sign you've picked the wrong home. That's what happens to one renter when the landlord drops off that oh-so-friendly gift basket. That story in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Becoming an EPP supports the show. It helps keep us on the air and cover all of our hard costs of distributing the show. And you get all the bonus episodes, more than 60 of them, exclusive video content, and more. Sign up to be an EPP right now, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. And I hope everyone survived Halloween.
Too much candy.
Oh, there's no such thing as too much candy. What was your favorite candy of the year, Jennifer?
I still like caramel apple pops, I think.
Those are delicious.
This time of the year.
The thing is, there's now like 22 variations on caramel apple pops. Mm-hmm. There's the old traditional, the standby from the 90s, which was the apple sucker. That's kind of half-ass dip into the caramel, yeah. Where it's like some of them have like full caramel wrapped around them, some of like one side. Some are just kind of like, oh, they kind of missed that one. And then there's like Blow Pops have one, and there's a couple others now.
I'm not a fan of the Blow Pops. I like the original.
I still go back to the original. Mm-hmm. Even though they're kind of clustery on how much caramel you're going to get. But that's half of the surprise.
Now, what do you think of all the dentists that today come out and they're like, oh, we'll buy all your candy and we send it to somebody.
I think that's sacrilegious.
I hate that.
I think that. I get what they're doing. They're trying to do a good thing. But the thing is, here's my take on it. You're only young once. Mm-hmm. You only get so many years to enjoy Halloween. And, you know, you can learn some lessons from Halloween about overeating and candy consumption. I certainly did. And I think I'm not really big into candy as an adult. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I really loved it. But I tell you, after a couple Halloweens of my mom saying, fine, you want to keep eating your candy? Keep eating your candy. If you're going to ignore me telling you to stop, go right ahead. You see what happens. And well, let's say after I ate half that bag of candy, it did end up in the sewage system shortly thereafter. And it did not come out the correct way. I pretty much threw it up. Because I overate the candy.
You know, maybe that's what I need to do. I need to just load up and make myself sick on candy, and then I will not want it anymore, because that's
maybe
my downfall. No, sweets.
I don't necessarily think that it's probably the safest or best idea to encourage your children to have to throw up.
No.
But that's how I learned, and I'm not endorsing the idea. But, you know, it's funny. We're lucky. We have two little girls who, like, after they have one or two pieces of candy, are like, okay, I'm done. Can I have an apple?
We'll go to a burger place and they'll order salads.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. We did something wrong.
But yeah, I mean, you're only little once. You know, I think enjoy it with moderation. Mm-hmm. You know, be realistic about it. But, you know, to each their own. So, yeah, there you go. I enjoy the holiday. Now we have 360 some days until the next one. But the good thing is, if you're listening to the show, we have Halloween year round here. Mm-hmm. So if you are a new listener who found us over the month of October, welcome. We're not gone. We are the Halloween show that continues all year long. And the fun thing about the month of November on our show, actually, and I think it kind of gets overlooked, or you don't really think about it until, unless you're producing the show. November is filled with a lot of great ghost stories, because we're still backing up to the month of October with a lot of the stories that came in.
Sure.
Over the month of October. So November's a good month for this show.
Well, and we're gearing up for the Christmas season, which to us, you know, we don't really associate that with ghost stories. But our friends in the UK, mm-hmm. Christmas time is a big ghost story time for them.
So we get a lot of ghost stories from the UK, which are really good, too. So you're in for a good couple of, the whole year is good. But our peak season, I think, when some of the best stories come in is like right around now.
Right.
So thank you for listening. Let's get to some of those ghost stories. Today it's open lines. Your phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com to get your ghost stories to us. Hi.
Tony, Jenny, this is Brittany from California. I called in once before about when I was little, something happened to me, and right now there's a few things happening to my son that are concerning, and when I was pregnant with my son, a lot of things happened as well, so I kind of feel like they're connected, but since they're affecting my son, I'm really concerned, and I would like the listeners' input on maybe what I should do, or maybe your input on what should I do. So I'll just get started with what happened when I was pregnant with my son. I moved in with my husband and his parents into our room, which is a garage that is converted into a bedroom. And I would sleep on one side of the bed, you know, and then you get two pregnant, and they're like, okay, you need to lay on your left side. So, you know, when I sleep, I always have to face the TV. So to lay on my left side, I switch sides with my husband. When I would lay on that side, I would feel like someone would rush up to me and grab me by my shoulders and shake me and tell me, you know, wake up, or, you know, just scream in my ear. And it got to the point where I would hear, you know, my name whispered into my ear, and I would tell my husband in the morning, you know, were you trying to wake me up or something, you know, and he would tell me no. And then it got to the point where I would wake up with bloody noses. And the odd thing is my sister-in-law, she lived with us, she would wake up with bloody noses the same night that I would. And I asked her about it, and she's just like, oh no, you know, it's nothing, you know, it's probably just the room. But then we got talking, and she was telling me how she doesn't like the playroom because she feels like someone watches her, and she doesn't like the kitchen because there feels like a man in the kitchen. And I completely agree with her. Like, when you're washing dishes, you feel like there's someone creeping up behind you. But I just brush it off like, oh, you know, it's just my pregnancy dreams and whatnot. But then it kind of escalated when like I got further along in my pregnancy, probably like a month before I was due, you know, I would have really, 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 really bad contractions, and they would last, like, they felt like labor contractions. So I would go to the hospital, and then they would just completely stop, like with no medication, nothing whatsoever, and they would tell me I'm fine. And then I would go home, go back to sleep, and then the same thing. But it would be rougher, where they would split me over and shake me and try to wake me up. And then I would hear people walking around our bed, and I would tell my husband, you know, I would try to wake him up, say, hey, you know, do you hear that? Am I crazy? And then, of course, you know, I had my son, and it was a really rough labor and everything like that. But, you know, we're both fine, and he's 2.5 now. So fast forwarding to now, what's going on is my son, he'll, you know, want to sleep out in the living room on the couch with my dad, who's staying with us right now, and he refuses to look into the kitchen, and like he'll hide himself under a pillow so like no one can see him, and he won't sleep unless his head is covered with a pillow. He was sitting on the couch with me one day, and he looked down the hall, and he started pointing, and he started screaming and yelling, and my dad walked down the hall, and he's like, oh, I'm like, Dad, just, you know, make him comfortable and, like, say, get out, go away. So my dad did that, and, you know, he refuses to look in the kitchen when the light is off, and he has some behavioral therapy just because they say he's behind a little bit in his development. So the therapist came to the house, and they were sitting on the couch, and he looked into the playroom. And I have a one-year-old daughter as well. And he was sitting there, and he just had this blank stare, staring in the playroom, and he just started babbling. And then my daughter went over there and started doing the same thing. And it was like he would babble, then stop, and then wait for like a response and just like talk. And then me and the therapist both looked at each other. I go, did you just see that or was that me? He said, no. And he's like, no, I saw that. That's weird. That's never happened. He never does that. And so I told my dad about it. My dad's like, oh, no, he probably just has an imaginary friend. I go, no, I'm pretty sure if he had an imaginary friend, you know, it happened more often. It doesn't happen often. And then just yesterday, I was at work. I work overnight at Walmart, which I could tell you some stories too. But I got home and my dad was telling me that, you know, recently he's been hearing tapping when he sits in our room when both my husband and I are at work. That he hears tapping all around the room when the TV's off, so he keeps the TV on, and then when he woke up, the TV was off, so do we come home and turn off the TV? And I told him no. And then he says, oh, well, in the middle of the night, I felt Frankie, that's my son, being pulled off, like being tugged off the bed. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no. And he says he reached over and grabbed his arm, and he felt a hand grasping my son's arm, trying to pull him off the bed, and that my son was like squiggling around so he wouldn't be pulled off the bed. And I said, well, maybe you were just sleeping or something. He said, no, he refused to go to sleep. And he said that my daughter was freaking out as well. And, you know, these things don't seem to affect her as much because I didn't have as much experiences when I was pregnant with her that I did with my son. So it's just to the point where if it's affecting my son to the point where he doesn't sleep and it scares him, like, I really would like some advice to know what to do. I can tell you out of the corner of your eye, it's like you can see like a kid-shaped shadow creep, you know, peeking around the corner, and everyone tells me that I'm crazy, but you know, there's times where I just wish my son, who he doesn't talk as well, so that's what makes it difficult to ask him what's going on. You know, he doesn't know how to tell us, so it's really difficult to figure out, like, is it an imaginary friend, or, you know, is he just afraid of the dark, or is there something truly bothering him? So that's the gist of what's going on, and I do have a lot of other stories that, you know, have happened to me personally when I was growing up. And maybe it's because when I was younger and because of now, I'm, you know, what I experience in the house that I live in currently with my husband and my in-laws, maybe I'm a little sensitive to this and I pass it on to my son, which I really hope isn't the case, because that's like the worst feeling in the world when your son can't tell you what's scaring him or what he sees. But again, I just would like some input. And just another thing, I tried calling in this story 4 times, and this is the first time it actually let me go all the way through. It would give me about a minute, and then it would cut me off. So I don't know if that's something trying to keep me from getting some type of help, but it just really, really scared me. I'm thinking about it right now because I'm at work. And my son is at home with my dad, and my husband. It just, you know, it's just like, you know, I can't be there to protect my son if anything happens. I pray at night to keep my baby safe. And, you know, right now it doesn't seem to be working. So any advice from anyone or you, Tony and Jenny, would be welcomed with open arms, just because it is affecting my 2.5-year-old. And you know, you guys being parents probably does not, you know, it's not a good feeling to know that something is bothering your son and you can't do anything about it. Sorry, I'm getting upset thinking about it. But if anything will help, thank you guys. I love the show. Have a good night.
Okay, I don't think it's an imaginary friend, because both of the children would not see the same imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as helping and knowing what to do, I think in these cases, it's best to open it up to our entire audience.
Sure.
And put it out on the forum to have everybody weigh in and give as many ideas as possible.
Because there is not going to be one feel-safe answer to this, or one correct answer or wrong answer. I mean, there's certainly wrong answers you could have to this, but there's not going to be the, you know, the turnkey solution.
no,
if you will, to something like this. So I agree. I think we should open this up to our forum section. If somebody wants to start that and start weighing in with ideas. Obviously, I mean, it sounds like you have a pretty good support system there, which is good to have, you know, your family within the house. The child's not being left alone or with someone they're scared of or don't trust. The biggest thing I think that you can do is try and keep your son as comfortable as possible and as calm as possible and as feeling as if there is nothing wrong as possible. So other fears don't play in and essentially accentuate whatever it is that he is seeing. I think you have to understand that your kid is sensitive, and the time of hoping and wishing that they didn't have that gift, if you want to call it that, that you have is past. I think you're pretty confident in saying that he is probably just as sensitive as you, if not possibly even more. I mean, he may be seeing things that you are not seeing, and probably more than the sibling is as well.
And I would say too, since he's sensitive and you're sensitive, when these things happen and you do get upset, as any parent would, that he's going to feed off of that. He's going to pick up not only on the paranormal that's going around, but sensitive people pick up on different people's energies that they are close to.
Yeah.
So he's going to feel that fear and anxiety, which I know is going to be really tough to try and stifle that. But as much as you can, try and keep yourself as upbeat and positive around him, because that's what he's going to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
If you are afraid and every time something happens, you are just ridden with anxiety, he's going to feel that too.
And that's just going to add to it.
Yes.
It's going to add to fear and anxiety that doesn't have anything to do with the paranormal, but is related to, because that's where it's being fed off of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to make the situation even worse. It's like taking a Doritos Fire Taco and adding more hot sauce to it.
Okay.
Get it? The taco's already pretty spicy just alone by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you add some more to it that has nothing to do originally with the taco. That made it 10 times hotter.
Okay.
And I think, and that's the anxiety. The anxiety is the hot sauce.
Are you wanting Taco Bell for dinner? Is that what you're trying to hint?
No, I just had some the other day. It was delicious.
Okay.
And they're not a sponsor by any means.
No.
I'm just giving an example of, you know, because that's kind of what it's like. It's you're adding something to this that doesn't necessarily need to be there, but it's going to be hard not to add it to it. I know, right. I have a hard time not adding hot sauce to my tacos.
So if somebody wants to start a spot on the forum, it's Brittany in California that
sure.
was our caller. So if we label it that or something, you know,
yeah.
referencing her, then we'll know.
I think really do your best to stay strong and try not to convey your anxiety and fear and scaredness to him. I don't know if scaredness is a word, but do your best to keep that from him, because he's not going to understand it, obviously.
Right.
He's looking for comfort and peace, and there's nothing you can do to turn off his sensitivity to seeing these things. That's just what it is. There's not going to be a switch you're going to flip. That may be something that as he gets older and later in life, he develops and learns how to do. But as of right now, it's going to be, how can you keep him as comfortable as possible? And the thing is, these things do tend to feed off of fear and anxiety and negativity and emotions of that nature. So again, sometimes adding more positivity in there, and I'm sure you're trying to be as positive as you possibly can, but sometimes faking the positivity, keeping the positivity going with other people in your household may possibly decrease these things if there's less of that in the environment. And I'm not in any way saying you have a negative home or a negative environment, but certainly when you have the anxiety and all that there, it's hard not to feel that way and feel down. Do your best to try and keep this as positive as possible, and that may also play into helping this out a little bit. I'm Dr. Fraser Crane. Our number is...
That's great.
I'm listening. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We would love to hear your real ghost story on our show. Of course, you can call it in or you can write it in as well on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Megan. I'm in California. And I just listened to a caller who was dealing with something coming through her headphones, and she mentioned that she was sick and had been sick for a while and was interested in knowing more about
being sick and maybe being more connected to the other side, or the veil being thinner. And I just wanted to share my experiences with that. I have two experiences where I was pretty sick and had some paranormal experiences. When I was about 18, well, about a decade ago, my grandfather passed away. And on the plane ride down for his funeral from San Francisco to Southern California, I got really, really, really sick. And I had something flu-like and, you know, was grieving. My grandfather's death was a surprise, and was really sad, really missing him. My whole family was just kind of surprised and sad, and obviously. So anyways, I get home and I'm helping my family. We're all grieving together. I'm, like I said, very sick. My mother was actually also very sick, and we had to get through the funeral and, you know, the memorial celebration after that, all with pretty much the flu. And that night after the celebration, went home, eventually went to sleep, and I was just so incredibly exhausted. And I fell asleep lying on my stomach. I started hearing this like helicopter sound in my ears, and this like kind of anxiety growing in my chest. And then I wasn't able to move my body, and I wasn't able to speak or talk. And then felt my body sort of lifting first off the bed. I knew my body was still on the bed. However, I felt like I was lifting off the bed. As soon as I got to my chest and started to feel like my ribs and chest lift up off of the bed, I started thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die, and started to will myself back awake and was like trying to scream, trying to do anything to try to like bring myself back to my body. And then my body, you know, started to feel myself come lower back into my body, you know, ribs, stomach, you know, legs, and back down to my feet, and then was able to move my body. And I rolled myself over really quickly, and then I saw these lights bouncing around in my room. And the first thing that I said out loud, and I'm not really sure why, was just, "Grandpa?" And I don't have any confirmation about anything, but that's my first story having to do with that. My second story was actually in Paris, France. I was traveling and caught something on the airplane, and on my third day of our trip was just deathly ill. I was staying in a hotel, and I was so sick. I was able to like go around and do some exploring during the day, but then that night, my boyfriend at the time was going to go out to dinner, and I just said, "I just can't do it. Leave me here. Bring me back something to eat, and I'm just going to sleep. I need some rest." So, you know, I'm sleeping, and I'm super sick. I have a fever, and I'm coughing, and my lungs hurt, and I'm dozing in and out of sleep, and I just keep kind of waking up and feeling like strange and disoriented, and I kept being like, "Oh man, you're really sick. You have such a bad fever," and just delirious. But then I kept waking up more and more frequently, and I remember one time waking up frustrated and pulling the blankets back up onto my body like they were down, you know, by my waist, and I had them tucked all the way up to my chin, and I just said, "Stop pulling the blankets off of me." And again, I'm not really sure why I said that, but the blankets were being pulled off of me, and I was pulling them back up, and I was like frustrated, but was still kind of hazy and delirious. I woke up and was kind of like, "Wait, what the hell just happened?" and realized that I was not alone in the room. I didn't see anything, but I could definitely feel something, and realized that somebody in the hotel was trying to pull the blankets off of me, and I could not see them. So I was a little bit freaked out. I started kind of having these panicky feelings like, I'm alone here in this country. I don't know anybody, and we don't have cell phones, and I can't contact my boyfriend if I need him, and freaking out. Ended up falling back to sleep, and when he came home, or back to the hotel, I was just like, oh, thank God. I experienced this and blah, 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 and I never experienced anything in the hotel again, but I was never alone in the hotel again after that. Ended up finding out after that experience, a couple days into our stay, that hotel had been converted recently, in, you know, the past 10 years or something, from a brothel into a hotel. So I find that kind of curious that I was alone, woman alone in a hotel room having blankets pulled off of me, and then nothing else happened in the hotel when I was there with my boyfriend. So, anyways, I hope you enjoy those stories. I have more, and I'm sure that I will call back and share them with you. Thanks so much for the program. I listen to it all the time, and really appreciate all that you do. Thanks so much. Be well.
Okay, so a former brothel in Paris turned into a hotel. How haunted is that?
Probably quite.
I would think so. I would think that that could be any number of things showing up to bother you in the middle of the night there.
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, just the amount of not good things that had happened there, and the age of the buildings as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think you play into a lot of very negative energies going around that area.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Our phone number here, 855-853-4802. Here's an interesting thing I was just coming across online. According to, this is on WGN as the source on this, the owners of a Rhode Island farmhouse depicted in the 2013 horror film The Conjuring are suing Warner Brothers, saying it has created a real-life nightmare for them.
Okay.
And this is not the real house where this stuff happened to the parent family. This is the one that was depicted in the movie, which looks nothing like the real one. The owner and her husband sued the filmmakers and others. They say they've made a mockery of their Harrisville home since the movie hit the big screen. They say online videos show trespassers coming up to their house. They say they'll never see peace and privacy because of the movie. And paranormal investigators helping a family that just moved into a secluded farmhouse. That's what it's about. The company hasn't seen the lawsuit. They say they've posted signs to keep the trespassers at bay, but people keep coming onto the property. The couple is seeking unspecified monetary damages. I would think that there had to have been some sort of monetary transaction to begin with.
And legal documents, you know, saying
they're not. Yeah.
You get what you get.
You're not just going to use a house image, to the extent that they did. There was a lot that went into that. I'd be interested to hear that side of the story, because they didn't just like show up and go, let's film this house and put it in the movie.
Right.
And then think, I mean, that's not how that works. So I'd like to know what the transaction was between Warner Brothers and the owners of the farmhouse to get permission to use the property, first of all. And that's why you have those documents. because eventually, yes, you make your house famous. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's what's so funny is that house isn't even the real house. So
sure.
It's not even.
No.
I mean, it may be haunted by something else, but it's not haunted.
Yeah.
It's not. Didn't that happen with the farmhouse from Walking Dead? From the second season.
I don't know what the deal is there.
I thought they were very upset that they wish they hadn't done anything to do with the show.
And because all these people want to go to the farmhouse.
Sure.
And check it out. That's what happens, people. When you whore out your house for a movie role,
yeah.
People are going to want to see your house. And the check better be pretty damn big.
Mm-hmm.
And you better really understand what it is you're getting into. When that happens, I don't know. I'd like, before I say I have no pity for the owners, because I don't know the full story there. What could also be an issue there It could be kind of like the Amityville house, mm-hmm. where maybe these are different owners at this point in time. Since the home, and now they're having to deal with all this, and whoever had the house already took the check and they're gone. And now, but the thing is, you're buying what you're buying. It's not their fault that they sold the house and you bought it. And, but hey, we're in the wonderful world of let's sue somebody. So I don't know. I'd like to hear more about that. Be very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I wonder if any more of that will come out. It's hard to make a to judge without knowing both sides of that story.
You see the Paranormal Activity house that they used? It was from the first movie, and they set it up as it was like an open house, like it was for sale, and people were going through it, and they had set it up to have things happen while people were going through it, unsuspecting people.
I heard about it. I have yet to see that.
It's pretty good. I think it's on YouTube now, but
it's
funny.
I should look that up. That would be very funny just to get people's reactions on that. 855-853-4802 is your number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Hope everything is finding you well. My name is Jacob, and I am calling from Illinois. I want to say I love the show and that I can't stop listening. I started listening at the beginning of October, and now I'm in at least 100 episodes deep, and it makes working late into the night very interesting. I had a couple of things that I wanted to call about. I was just listening to the episode If These Walls Could Talk, and you guys had posed the inquiry that if, you know, what kind of paranormal stuff do people who work in real estate experience, and I actually had a story to share about that. I was helping clean up a house with someone that was working as an assistant for a real estate agent in my town local area. And we were cleaning up the house, and we were in the basement. And as soon as you walk into the basement, you got this very eerie feeling. And you would hear stuff moving around. You would hear whispering. A couple of the construction workers who had been there a couple weeks before claimed that some of them had been pushed and that some of them, you know, once again heard whispering and stuff like that. And after we cleaned the house, we went back to the real estate agent who had hired us for the job, and we asked, you know, like, there's a really weird feeling in the basement downstairs. I'm like, did anything ever happen in the house? And come to find out that one of the construction workers who was doing the roofing had actually fallen off the roof and fell to his death. And this was a two-story house, so it was a long fall. I believe he had broken his neck, and now supposedly his spirit now resides within there. The next thing I'm getting to is, you guys had posed another question where how many people in the cleaning industry, or, you know, like janitors, things like that, people who clean buildings late at night, had paranormal experiences, that they don't talk about. And I am a janitor. I do work for a cleaning company, and I had one to share with you guys. At the time, I was being given a ride to work by someone I know, and they had dropped me off, and we were just waiting in the parking lot. I was having a cigarette, and we were just talking before we went to work. And all of a sudden, he says, there's a ghost in the parking lot. Now, I didn't see anything, but this person that I know who gave me a ride is an empath, and I fully believe that they see spirits and that they can comprehend things which I cannot. And so he said, there's a ghost in the parking lot. And I said, oh, okay, well, great. I mean, I'm about to go in at work at like 11 o'clock at night, and there's a ghost prowling around the building that I'm cleaning. So I went into work with a little apprehension, and the building that I clean is a daycare center, and I was cleaning one of the classrooms, and I was just mopping the floor, and I was just, you know, listening to music, when all of a sudden I hear a loud crash. A toy had fallen off one of the drawers or like toy storage things that they had there. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe no big deal. Maybe it tipped over. But then I saw a whole drawer filled with Legos and building blocks, literally, quickly, viciously, and with force, rocket out of one of those drawers and slide across the floor. At that point, I was just about ready to go crazy, and I'm actually in this very same building right now, which actually makes me feel weird talking about it again. So, fingers crossed, nothing happens again. But yeah, that was very weird. And occasionally in this place, you do sometimes get the feeling of being watched. But I hope that answered your question, and I hope this kind of helps other people who are from the cleaning industry, janitorial, etc., come forth and tell their stories, because a lot of the times we're the only people here in the buildings that we clean at night, and a lot of weird stuff does happen. I will always call back with more stories about other buildings when I get the chance. Thank you so much for what you guys do. It's nice to have an outlet to talk about these kinds of things. And I will be coming an EPP next month, because I think that if those stories there are scary, I can't really wait to see what's on the EPPs. And to Tony, I would love if you would bring back the Pepperidge Farm cake jokes, and also if we can make bitchin' quiche recipes a real thing. So thank you very much, guys, and have a good day, night, whatever it is. Bye-bye.
Maybe for just like one weekend, I'll make a bitchin' quiche recipe video, and I'll go in the kitchen and we'll shoot it like I used to shoot the old cooking videos.
You should.
And it'll be like really, really hokey, and it'll be great fun. I don't know.
I wonder how many of our listeners realize how many cooking videos you have shot.
I don't know. Probably not a lot.
Yeah.
Unless you really go through the YouTube archives.
I don't think you've ever done a quiche video, though.
I don't think I've ever actually made quiche in my life. Oh. I know my mom is into bitchin' quiches.
She makes a bitchin' quiche. It's awesome.
She does make a bitchin' quiche.
Yeah.
In fact, she even said she's like, ready for some bitchin' quiche this morning?
She did not Peeps. Say it.
That's exactly what she said. And she was doing the triangle in the kitchen. And screaming at us to come and have some bitchin' quiche. Bitchin' quiche, everybody. Yep. And she suddenly has a southern accent.
You're so weird.
Okay. So there you go. Pepperidge Farm cakes are delicious. There you go. There's your references.
No, I was just thinking, you know, I mean, he's right. They're there at night alone usually. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there when shit happens.
Yeah, I think sometimes the undead enjoy making themselves known to just one person. They like keep a little mystery in the world,
mm-hmm.
rather than everyone see them. And then all they have, you know, the only person that can talk about it is that one person, albeit they can talk about it to thousands of people on our show. But still, you're going back to that person and taking them at their word.
Right.
And you need the evidence sometimes for some people to really, really believe it. But I believe there's probably quite a few stories in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good to hear more of those. And I know we have a lot of listeners who, I mean, the great thing about podcasts is it's this whole world now of shows that you can listen to and really pass the time, especially in a job like cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets monotonous after a while. And if you can have something other than just the same music that you're listening to, you can really kind of engross yourself into something. So I think we probably have a lot of listeners who are doing that,
yeah,
you know, for a living in jobs like that, and you can really enjoy it. You're not just, you know, relegated to what was around, you know, 5-10 years ago, extremely conservative talk radio, sports talk, or maybe an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even then you had to deal with either a CD player or MP3s are around somewhat, but you know, not to the extent they are today.
See, I really envy our listeners that can do two things like that at once.
Oh, you can't?
I can't do that. I have to focus on one or the other. Like when I'm mm-hmm. listening to calls before the show,
yeah.
I have to just sit there and listen to calls, because if I start looking something else up while I mm-hmm. have it playing on the computer, no, I won't even remember what happened.
I love listening. I do podcasts whenever I'm like working on projects around here, mm-hmm. like around the house type projects. Like if I'm building something or painting something or something of that nature. I can't listen to him while I'm working during the day.
Yeah.
Because that will totally throw me off. But if it's something where it's like, I don't know if it's like, I guess, not reading or writing, or if it's just monotonous type tasks, then I can do it.
Okay.
But anyhow, that's how we work. 855-853-4802 is our number. Tammy, hi.
Sorry, I had to redo this. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. Happy Halloween again. I am writing on behalf of my mother, who is afraid of ghost stories. She still has not listened to the 4 or 5 stories of mine that have been read on this show. Jenny, I think you will enjoy this one. And I just want to let you know that if it sounds like it's rehearsed, it is, because I'm reading it. I'm a little nervous. 4 or 5 weeks ago in September, my stepfather fell ill, and he was achy. He became weak and needed to be transported by ambulance to the hospital. A few hours later, the doctors put a much-needed stent in his liver as he was in excruciating pain. 2 days later, after testing a CAT scan, the prognosis came back that Jim had liver cancer. The very next day, when the final CAT scan results came in, the doctor sat down my mom and Jim and told them he had liver, lung, lymph node, and stomach cancer. There was no available treatment. His cancer had metastasized. Shortly before Jim went into the hospital, their dog Ginger started behaving strangely. Her eating and drinking habits were lacking. She did not have as much energy. Ginger was 12, so my mom thought it was due to her age. It appeared that once Jim's health began to rapidly decline, so did Ginger's. Early in the morning at approximately 2:20 a.m., Ginger woke up my mom, who was sleeping on the couch. Ginger was pacing and whining, clearly distressed. A few minutes later, she quit the racket and went to sleep. Jim had spent 3 weeks total between the hospital and then hospice. Shortly after Ginger's episode, my mom received the call. Jim passed at 2:30 early that Wednesday morning. Later that Wednesday morning, I took my mom's hand and helped her through the motions of arranging his cremation and obituary. By Friday, Mom had his ashes, and alone, she spread them in the river where Jim used to like to fish. Mom is 68 and lives in South Bend, Indiana, and I live near Wisconsin, so I could only stay until Friday. When I felt sadness, and it was like something that was unfinished. Mom was going to take Ginger to the vet in the morning to make sure she was not depressed. My mother and I parted in tears, a sense of foreboding still lingering. I told Mom I would return in a few days and guiltily left her there on the steps, a thin, sad figure with hair blowing in the autumn wind. Saturday, Mom took Ginger to the vet, and within 30 minutes, the vet told Mom that Ginger had liver failure and that she was completely in pain and needed to be put to sleep. Mom was devastated. With a heavy heart, she told the vet that she wanted to stay with Ginger until the end. The vet then told her that even though the pet goes to sleep, the organs would squeak and make other weird noises as the body passed. Mom bent down on her arthritic knees and hugged Ginger tight, the guilt overwhelming her heart. She looked Ginger in the eyes, told her she loved her. She knew Ginger would soon be in heaven with Jim. Ginger let the staff lead her away, looking back only once into Mom's face as if she knew her pain would soon be gone. My mom shook with tears as she watched the only other companion she ever knew forever walk away. On Saturday night, Mom's sleep was fitful. She tossed and turned, saddened by the loss of her two loves. I received a text from her the next morning, frantically saying that she needed a new dog. She said she normally would wait, but her fear and the quiet was horrible. I searched and found in Craigslist a free dog, same size as Ginger, with curly white hair. His name was Sky. Funny thing about Mom, she loves angels. She has them everywhere. I found it to be a little coincidental that the dog was named after the place where the angels reside. Sky is very cool, and he immediately took over Jim's recliner. I again had to leave since I had to return to work in the morning. That night, Mom told me that she woke to the sound of shuffling paws and clicking nails in the kitchen. Ginger used to do this every night. Sky has tags and they jingle. There was no jingle. Mom looked up and saw Sky sleeping in his chair. Then she glanced into the kitchen and saw a light, a soft white light near the sink. She blinked and it was gone. A few nights later, Mom, who was sleeping a little better due to Sky, had a dream, a very vivid vision. In the dream, Ginger appeared in a halo of light. She trotted over to Mom and began to lick her hand. She then looked directly into Mom's eyes and said goodbye. Then Ginger disappeared. Mom woke up crying, but with relief. She believed that Ginger had come back to say she was not angry with Mom for putting her to sleep. I believe she is right. I think Ginger knew what had to be done and needed to be relieved of the pain. Mom and I think that the love that Mom and Ginger had connected them in life and death. We think Skye was sent by an angel for Mom, and yes, as corny as it sounds, I do believe that all dogs go to heaven, and all the other animals too. P.S. Love you guys a lot. Hugs, and keep it up. P.S.S. I really do not think it was sleep paralysis. She was not paralyzed nor scared. Always yours, forever EPP, Velvet Razor, also known as Tammy. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
I definitely think that Ginger had such a deep connection to both of her owners. I think it's amazing that when Jim was going through his illness, that Ginger was suffering with the same type, you know, as far as both of their livers being affected primarily.
Sure. It makes you wonder almost if the animal was trying to hang in there as long as possible to help Jim get through it, you know, until the end. And then once Jim had passed, then the animal knew, well, it's I can go now.
Yeah.
You know, if it was almost kind of led up to like that. Very, you know, it's interesting. We hear stories of pets like that all the time. And then them sometimes coming back and letting you know that they're on the other side in a very, you know, discreet way, but in a way that, you know, takes you kind of by surprise. Suddenly, oh, here's that familiar sound again. And wait a second, they're dead.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Right.
You know, and I think that that's what was going on there.
I think so, too. I think once Ginger saw that Skye was there, that she knew she could go.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call. 855-853-4802. Of course, our EPP program that everybody talks about. If you're a new listener, that's our extra podcast people. That's what EPP stands for. You get a bonus episode of the show every single week. We're up to 60-some bonus episodes now. When you sign up, you get all of the bonus episodes, 60-some of them. You get access to listen to some of our best ghost stories there, exclusive video content, and more. So check that out. It's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps this show going year-round. Without our EPPs, that could not be a possibility. So thank you if you already are an EPP. If you're thinking about becoming one, please sign up to be one. Let's go to Nick. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing? My name is Nick. I'm calling. I'm a new listener, by the way. What you guys are doing is great. I recently came across it, and I love the podcast. Thank you for it. I listen to it at work, and I look forward to being a subscriber so I can listen to the extra podcast. Anyways, my story begins like this. About the summer of, I do believe, 05, and at the time, I was living with my best friend, and this happened to happen at night where he lives. He lives on a, we live in the city of Los Angeles, right outside of Los Angeles. And it's a pretty packed city, you know. So we're not out in the woods or anything like that. My friend had about 8-foot iron, an iron fence, okay, all around the house. So this one night, I do believe it's a Friday night, and we're at the house, and we're getting ready to go out to some type of party or whatever. No one's there. He lived with only his mom. Nobody's there. His mom's out. I'm doing something. I do believe it was late. We were going out to this party really late. It was about 11, 12 o'clock. Matter of fact, no, it was exactly 12. It happened exactly at 12 o'clock because he had this big old stand-up clock that rang at midnight. And I remember because this is what happened. So we're in the living room on our cell phones, talking to whoever. He's on one couch, I'm on the other couch. And outside, he had sensor lights. Now, keep in mind, I said that around this whole house is 8-foot iron fence. And the sensor light goes off. And he's on the phone, and I'm looking at my phone. And we just happen to look up. Now, through the blinds, we see the shadow of a man just standing there. Now, the shadow was on the, like, on the floor. And we're like, we look up, we see it, and we look at each other. And immediately we get up. We hop up off the couches. We go to it. We see it. I literally see it run. And we're thinking, all right, somebody's in the yard. So what? Right when we hit the door, and I'm talking, this is a matter of seconds, there was nobody there. And I remember that. I'll always remember that to this day. It was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen. There was no explanation for it. There was nobody in the yard. There was no way. If there was somebody in the yard, they could have scaled that iron fence. And recently I came across the shadow people, and that topic is a totally different story, but I don't know what it was. I didn't feel like scared by it or evil presence or anything like that. It was just the weirdest, unexplainable thing that ever happened. We've talked about it. We went, we looked around, and we looked down the street right after. There was just nobody there. And this shadow was like a man, a tall man. And yeah. So that's my story. I don't know if anybody else has ever had similar experiences, but yeah. Thank you guys. Keep up the good work, and I hope to hear my story. Take it easy.
Well, I know Nick is a new listener, and when he goes through the backlog of stories, he'll realize very quickly that he's not the only person that's had an experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most common things we talk about on the show is shadow people.
In fact, Nick, if you go to our photo gallery section up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com, take a look at one of the more recent ones that we put up there just the other day, and it's called Shadow Man? It's one of the first ones you'll see. It's a view of someone taking a shot down the road of what appears to be a shadow man of some sort. Very creepy photo.
Yeah.
One of the best, I think, that we've ever gotten in. Take a look at that and see if it looks familiar to or similar to what you experienced, because you're certainly not alone when it comes to the topic of shadow people.
Mm-mm.
Very creepy story. Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience, and we look forward to you being an EPP as well and helping to keep this show on the air. Welcome to all of our new listeners who've discovered us over the month of October. Thanks for continuing to listen and keep Halloween going all year long, as that's what we do here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you like the show, consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person, $5 a month. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And as I said 500 times, that's what keeps this show on the air. So if you like it and you want it to keep going, throw a little in the kitty, and that will help fuel this thing well into 2016. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.